Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. Scripture quotations marked NIV are taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 1973, 1978, 1984, 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission of Zondervan. All rights reserved worldwide. Zondervan.com. The NIV and New International Version are trademarks registered in the United States Patent and Trademark Office by Biblica Inc.
Thanks for watching this week. November 29th marks the beginning of Advent, as Glynis will mention. We'll not be holding our regular Christmas Eve service this year, but we want to encourage you to celebrate Jesus' birth with your household and know that you are loved. The message for this week is titled Angels. Thank you to Glynis, Paul, and Don for their work on this week's service. The scripture reading is Hebrews 1:1-14. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits, and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?
Well, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to see you. It is, I thought this morning, something that was often said, you know, it's chilly outside, but it's warm in here. We are very blessed to have a wonderful fellowship, and it's so good to see so many of you again, and it's really good to see the snowflakes outside. I don't know whether you're a snow person or not, but it's kind of fun to see the snow come and the change of the seasons. And so come on in and let's gather together in a word of prayer. Dearest Lord God, God, thank you so much for everything that you give us. Thank you for the wonderful change in seasons. Thank you for the amazing weather that we've had, and now a switch to colder weather. It's awesome. God, we are so grateful that you have created us to be a part of your incredibly beautiful world, and we thank you for the amazing intricacies of it. God, we ask your blessing this morning on our service, and we ask you to watch over each one of us. I know that there are definitely some health concerns in and amongst our fellowship, our friends, our families, people we know, and certainly people all around the world. God, we lift up our hearts in prayer for them and for the people who care for them. God, we thank you so much, and we ask your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Glad to have you with us today. I want to spend some time today talking about what was just read before us, angels. We don't worship angels. We come to church to worship Jesus. We thank God for himself, for the Son. We thank you for his Holy Spirit. But I sometimes forget that there is more to us, surrounding us, than we know. And I suspect that each one of us have had angels come into our life on occasion without us even knowing it. Now, someone might say, well, how in the world would you know that? How would you even think these things? Well, as the reading was just read to us in Hebrews, and there are other passages as well, angels are, let me read it from the NIV, are not all angels, not just some, are not all angels, ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation. So by a show of hands today, how many of you enjoy your salvation? I know you have to raise your hand because I asked you to raise your hand in church. How many of us enjoy our salvation? Yeah, we do. Let me read this again. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation? We have angels not only in our corner, but who have acted out for us in a positive way, serving us. We have angels around us. And even though this is a bit early as we move into the Christmas season, we know the story of the archangels, Gabriel, and other wonderful angels that are there, powerful angels surrounding us, Michael the archangel. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10, there are these unique words. John fell at the feet of an angel to worship him. And the angel says to John, "Don't do that." And I think that's the way the angel would say it. Here's John, this magnificent person who writes some fantastic books in the Bible, the Gospel of John, Gospel of love and light and forgiveness and goodness, the epistles of John, instructions for the church, the book of Revelation, powerful, powerful book, not only of the future, but of the present and how angels surround us. In Revelation 19, John comes across this amazing angel, and John falls down to worship the angel, and the angel says, "Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you." But as it's true, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? There are demons in this world. Chuck Swindoll reminds us, wherever there are angels, be aware. The demons are lurking. So who are the demons? And who are the angels? Angels are created by God or appointed by God. And some angels have lost their place. And we don't talk very often about this, but there is this amazing force in the world of good, but there's this force of evil as well. And the scriptures remind us of how Satan himself could have been an archangel at one point. Gabriel being an archangel, a powerful angel, other angels that are also powerful, but somehow he lost his place. So if you don't have a Bible with you or brought one with you, I'm just going to give you some of these scriptures and read to you some of these amazing stories that we sometimes forget that are in the Bible. Satan wanted to be like God. He wanted to be God. And so in Isaiah chapter 14, in verse 12, the writer Isaiah, writing this out, says this about Lucifer. "Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star." And that's what the word Lucifer means, O morning star. He was appointed as an archangel, but he lost his place. "You have been cast down to earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart these words, I will ascend to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds, I will make myself like the Most High. You see, he even knows he will never be the Most High. But he says, I will make myself like the Most High. Powerful scripture. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11 and 14, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Or in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 12, Paul says the things that mark an apostle are signs, miracles, and wonders. But then later he talks about how the work of Satan is displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. Scriptures remind us of the unseen world that surrounds us. But thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the salvation that he gives us. Thank God for the continual indwelling of his Holy Spirit. Thank God for God himself. And thank God for are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve us. It's more than an unseen world, isn't it? There's an unseen battle that took place where Satan himself says, I want to be God. And there are a couple of scriptures that I'd like us to read that are amazing scriptures. Here's one in the book of Ezekiel, in talking about Satan himself. And the reason why I suggest that maybe Satan, before he was cast down, was possibly an archangel is because of what I'm going to read to you here in Ezekiel chapter 28. You were a model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. And then he lists the various ruby, topaz, and so forth. And then he says this, your settings and mountings were made of gold on the day you were created, they were prepared. You were appointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God, and you walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created until the day that wickedness was found in you. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you down to the earth, and I made a spectacle of you before the kings. And once, when Jesus was talking to various people following him, he reminded them of these words, I saw Satan fall like lightning. He was cast down and cast out. Why in the world would an angel ever decide to pull away from God and live his own life? Why would we? Why would we? Why would we ever know Jesus Christ, love him, give ourselves to him, be baptized into him, talk to him, cry in his presence, laugh in his presence, that every breath we take is dependent on him. Everything about us and our loved ones and people that we don't love yet because we don't know them yet, but we will love them because we will know them. All these things that God gives us. Why? Even for a moment, even for a nanosecond, why would we ever turn our back? Why? Where the place for us is prepared already for us. Not just heaven, but the ongoing of life. The majesty of angels is no majesty. It's to serve. Created to serve. And what was it that Jesus said about who was the greatest? The greatest among us will be your, help me, servant. Those who serve, those who knew. So in Ezekiel, it talks about how Satan himself decided that he wanted to be like God. And Isaiah is the same thing. Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heaven. I will make myself like God, which is an impossible thing to do. And how Satan himself corrupted. He said, your heart became proud on a card of your own beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth and made a spectacle of you before heaven. And then in the book of Daniel, it talks about the powerful angels, those who serve God in a powerful way and serve us. And one of the great stories in the Bible, and I'll just give you these scriptures, and when you have time, you can read it. We don't have time to do it today. There's this amazing story in Daniel chapter 10. And a lot of Daniel is apocalyptic, which means a lot of symbolism is there, but the truth is always there. And it talks about how Daniel has says sees these angels and how powerful they are. Gabriel the angel is found in the book of Daniel. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sins of my people, Daniel says, and making my request to the Lord my God for his will, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man seen in the earlier vision, came to me swift flight about the time of the evening. And Daniel, I have now come to you to give you insight and to give you understanding as you prayed. God sends this angel of God, Gabriel, to help and to serve. And then also in Daniel, it talks about how Satan himself again wanted to be lifted up, wanted to be the glory of God, and was cast down. And so he says, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were already heard, and I have come in response to them. And then it says, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me. Then Michael, the archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Michael, the archangel, comes to help. And then later he says, do you know why I have come to you? I will soon return, but I want you to know that you have help from us. Are not angels, ministering spirits, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Let me just read a couple more passages of scripture. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. Do not forget to welcome strangers, to entertain strangers. For by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. This came to my mind this morning. I just wonder if sometime in the future, when we spend time one-on-one with God, number one, won't that be the most amazing thing in the world? Sitting down and talking with God, and we might ask him this question: can you show me, while I was alive on this earth, how often angels helped? And God might say something like this: have you got a couple of years? Of course, when you're in heaven, I don't think time's going to matter. Or one day when God renews all things and the angels walk among us and we can talk with them. But who's to say that angels haven't come into our life from time to time without us even knowing it? Are not angels just ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? A couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14, even though you have, I love this passage, even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you have one Father. We don't worship angels. We worship the Father. Even though we have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you have one Father. And the angels serve the Father by serving us. The greatest among us are the servants. Or this passage that always tugs at my heart. Do not look down on any of these little children, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. I just think it would be so cool that whenever we see a child, we know that there are angels surrounding that child. It's amazing to me how many references there are of angels serving us. And for some reason, there were angels who wanted to no longer be an angel, and they lost their place. But you and I have the encouragement from angels to reach out and to serve others. So I read this passage one more time in Hebrews chapter 1. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? But the opposite might also be true. Maybe I can read it this way, and I give a warning. I give a warning. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Could the opposite also be true? Are not all demons evil spirits sent from the evil one to destroy our salvation? And Chuck Swindoll reminds us, wherever there are angels, there are always demons lurking. But all it takes, and it's no contest, stack up Satan 10 times over. Stack up all the demons, all the evil spirits 10 times over. And bring into the room one Jesus. No contest. No contest. No contest. One day, all the evil will be gone. One day, all the illnesses will be gone. One day, those temptations that have haunted us will be gone. One day, we will spend as much time with Jesus and Jesus with us. It's amazing to me how powerful the scripture is, reminding us of how much he loves us. So I want to read to you a story, and then I conclude. It was written by Chuck Swindoll, and again, not a man of fancy. It's not fabricated in any way. In fact, I'll very quickly tell you the story. This goes back, boy, a long, long time ago, probably 40 years ago. I am that old. Well, some 40 years ago, many of the ministers, I was living up, Barb and I were living in the north. There was this advertising that came out that Chuck Swindoll was going to be speaking at a church in Toronto. And for those ministers, pastors that wanted to come, to go ahead. So I drove probably four or five hours to get to this church. It was a beautiful church. And I got there a bit late. And I was standing at the back. And there was a gentleman who was standing beside me. And he said, welcome, glad that you're here. And I said, oh, thank you. I'm glad I'm here too. I'm sorry I'm a bit late. Took longer than I thought. He said, well, where are you from? And I told him where I was. And he said, well, it must be difficult living in the north. And, do you get much encouragement from other preachers or pastors? I said, no, not really. We're just kind of there. And we just do the best we can. And he said, well, I really appreciate you being here. What's your name? And so I told him. And what's your address? And so I told him. And then the service continued, and they invited Chuck Swindoll up the front to talk. Well, guess who he was? He was the man who was talking to me at the back. I'd heard Chuck Swindoll, I guess, but I didn't know what he looked like. And so he came up, and he gave this wonderful presentation. 2 weeks go by, and I get this huge package in the mail. And I open it up, and it's multiple sermon series by Chuck Swindoll. And the message to me as a young pastor at that time, young preacher at that time, was, hope this helps. Love, Chuck. I've kept that with me. A wonderful person. Kind of think of them, even though he isn't, as an angel. Are not angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation? Our job is to serve, to welcome one another, to help one another. And so he talks about angels. Even the angels long to look into all of these things. And so he writes this story, and it's somewhat fanciful, but because I know Chuck a little bit, I appreciate it, and I'll conclude with this. I'm sorry if I've been going on too long. And here's what he says. Chuck Swindoll writes, many years ago, one of Chuck's mentors, told me a story that I've never forgotten. A missionary was home on furlough, traveling by car from church to church, raising support for himself as a missionary. And late one rainy evening, facing a long and lonely all-night journey, he asked the Lord to help him stay awake and make it safely to the next place where he would minister. Maybe you've had the same situation. A few minutes later, he came upon a man off to the side of the road hitchhiking. And although he rarely picked up hitchhikers, he felt sorry for this man in the rain and offered him a ride. As the two of them began to visit, the missionary was thrilled to discover that the stranger not only was a believer, but that he also had many mutual friends in the Lord's work. Time passed rapidly as the two of them laughed and shared stories. The fellowship was so rich that the missionary hated to see the early morning and hear his newfound friends say, well, this is where I need to get off. And before saying goodbye, the missionary invited him to have a cup of coffee at the roadside cafe. And they did that. And as they parted after their coffee, they promised to pray for each other. The rain had stopped by now, and a bright sun-drenched sky warmed the missionary's soul. Then a couple of minutes down the road, he realized that he had failed to get the man's address and phone number, so he quickly returned to the cafe, hoping that that man was still there. But there was no sign of the man. So when he asked the cook if he had seen which way the man had gone, he was shocked to hear the cook say, what other man? You came in here by yourself. I wondered why you ordered two cups of coffee, and I wondered who you were talking to. The missionary glanced at the table where the two had sat and noticed that the other cup was still full to the brim and that the coffee was now cold. As he returned to his car, another surprising realization came to his mind. He remembered that when he had picked up the hitchhiker in the pouring rain, the man had gotten in the car, but he wasn't wet. He said, "How could any of this be? I guess God just knew I needed him." I doubt that anything like that's happened to us, but I think many times in our lives, we have said, "Phew, wasn't that lucky?" Or, "Phew, how fortunate is that?" Or, "Wow." And all along, we are reminded of what Jesus said over and over and over again. "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And if angels serve us, can't we serve others? Amen.
Good morning. If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles or devices, Hebrews 2, 14. Don, I don't know if you're going through Hebrews or not, so my apologies if we're previewing. Okay, good. I mean, I wasn't going to change, but good. "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." This passage has so much in it, but I want to highlight a couple things for us this morning. We were talking about angels this morning. We were talking about their power and some of their characteristics. Even compared to them, it is not for them that Jesus came, but rather for us. And it's interesting that Jesus became fully human for two reasons. One, that he might become a faithful, merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he may make atonement, and that also that he would understand our temptations. It's an amazing thing to consider that our Savior, who sacrificed himself for us, knows what it's like to be me. Maybe not in every single minute detail, but he knows what it's like to be tempted. We even have scriptural evidence of this. He knows what it's like to almost walk away. He knows what it's like to feel the attractiveness of going your own path. The scene at Golgotha, at the Garden of Olives, is the scene that comes to my mind, where he has a choice. Do I follow through with going to the cross, or do I go my own way? And he says in a prayer, "I have my own will in this matter, but I will follow your will, God, if I have to." And the decision is so difficult for him that he sweats drops of blood. But then a few verses earlier in chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 10, "In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered, both the one who makes people holy and the one who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers or sisters. So there's one thing to say, we have a Savior who became like us, who understands us, but he's off there separate. He's in the throne room of God. He's in the holy place. He understands us. He has our best interests at heart, but he's separate from us. I mean, maybe at one time he was with us, but now he's not. Here, the writer of Hebrews clearly says, no, no, we are his brothers and sisters, included now in the family of God. We are all in the throne room of God together. It's amazing that this is not just a being saved. This is not just a salvation thing that Jesus has done for us, but he has adopted us into the family of God. We don't just have to not fear death anymore, as the writer of Hebrews say, but now we share in the inheritance of God himself. So this morning, as we think about Jesus' sacrifice for us, think about the pain and the suffering that took, let's also remember the celebration and victory of now being joined with him in the family of God. We no longer have to fear death, but we also celebrate life with him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for all you've given us and all you've blessed us with. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, your son's sacrifice that washes us whiter than snow. Lord, help us to remember that sacrifice this morning, but also in our daily lives. Help us to remember the celebration it also gives us in your family. Lord, help us to live like a people who have remembered and who continue to go out and follow your will wherever that may lead. We give you thanks for this bread that signifies your body, and we give you thanks for this for the vine that represents your blood. In Jesus' name, amen.
When I was a girl, the church that I went to practiced Advent, so a series of 4 weeks where a candle was lit on each Sunday, and then there was a candle lit on Christmas, symbolizing Christ. And I got thinking, gee, I bet this is the first day of Advent, so I got out my handy phone calendar and found out that this is in fact the first Sunday of Advent, and it is the Sunday that's dedicated to hope. And so if you would pray with me, we will pray with great joy for the hope that we have given to us through communion, through the gift of God's Son, but also through the same hope that those angels were singing about, peace on earth, finally coming to our world. Dearest Lord God, thank you so much for everything that you give us. God, we are so grateful for the ministering spirits that we are completely unaware of most of the time. For those of us that drive, God, we know that you have sent the wings of mighty angels many times to our rescue, and we're very grateful. God, we know that your angels minister to us so often with hope. God, sometimes even hope in spite almost of hope, God, and we're so grateful that you gift us in this way and in so many other ways. God, we're thankful for you, we're thankful for Jesus, we're thankful for the gift that being part of your church is, and of course we're so grateful for the salvation that you have extended to us. God, we pray a special prayer once again for those who are sick, God, for those who are struggling with illness and mental illness. God, for those who are having a tough time right now, which is really all of us. Even though we're joyful, we all have struggles, God, and we pray for each person, especially those who are sick and hurting, whether it's us, whether it's our family and loved ones, whether it's those in the church, those in our town, in our country, God, and especially around the world. God, we love you, we thank you, and we are so joyful for the hope that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Go and have a great week.
The Beansville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beansville, Ontario. You can find out more about the congregation and get in touch by visiting beansvillechurchofchrist.ca or our Facebook page.